Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
215-94-94. I'm Rob Cherry in for Glenn Macnow with Mike Sielski today in the midday show. At 1 o'clock today, the Go Birds, and at three o'clock, leading off, and then 3:30 is Phillies on deck, and then Phillies baseball today in San Francisco against the Giants. Noah Syndergaard versus Jacob Junis. Phillies lost last night, 13-1 in San Francisco. Not the good. They had a terrible start to this road trip, and the first game against the Giants was rather pathetic as well. 13-1 loss last night. So if you didn't stay up, or you didn't have Apple TV, or didn't listen on the radio last night, you didn't miss anything. It was just an awful, awful situation. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's get some phone calls in here. Danny on the cell. You're on 94 WIP.
Hey, what's going on, man? Good to be with you guys.
Hi, Danny.
So I want to give my prediction. I really think if we don't win 13 or 14 games this year for the Eagles, it's going to be a disappointment.
13 or 14?
Wow.
I mean, well, 12 or 13 is what I meant to say. But I think they should be in the running to host the NFC Championship game. I mean, you should sweep Washington. You should sweep New York. Even if you split it with the Giants, you should win the division. That gets you at least one game. But this schedule is weak. And I know we talked a lot about the Dream Team today and how it didn't pan out. But with the talent they added, if you're not pushing at the end of the season to be the number one seed, to have a buy-in playoffs and possibly host the NFC Championship game, I think it's a disappointment. You didn't go out and spend the money you spent and make the moves that you made to do anything less than that, I don't think.
You know, it's interesting, Danny. I think you are correct to a degree. I wouldn't go quite as far as you are in terms of the optimism. I'm optimistic about them, too. I think they should win 12 games this season. I think anything beyond that is kind of pushing it, just because the three, and again, we've been talking about this for weeks now because of the moves they made in the offseason. The three big questions are Jalen Hurts, Jonathan Gannon, and Nick Sirianni. And I do think there's a continuity question there too, Rob. I think that, you know, it is going to take a little time for the new acquisitions to assimilate into the offense and the defense, and for, you know, Gannon to get it, you know, a really good sense of how he wants to deploy some of these players, Hassan Reddick in particular. So we'll see. But
shouldn't that, some of that stuff been done in the preseason, though?
Well,
in a preseason game, maybe?
Because they're
all new?
They're doing that. I mean, look, they're doing that at practice. They're doing that at walkthroughs. They would argue that you don't need to do those kinds of things very much in a game. And I'm inclined to agree with them, only because now the regular season is up to 17 games. It's going to continue climbing. You know, the CBA is going to expire in, what, 7 or 8 years. And we're going to get at least an 18-game season, if not more than that, I think. And so the preseason games themselves are going to become less and less relevant. Players aren't going to want to play in them. Coaches don't see them as useful as in the way that they
Well, what about regular season? You mean you can just throw a regular season game away because the team's not ready, or they just need acclimate?
Nobody's going to be ready. It's just going to be a matter of you know, who's less ready than the other team. Because the NFL wants to make money, and it's, you know, it's going to keep expanding the regular season unless the players themselves push back.
Imagine what happens if the defense plays lousy in Detroit and they lose because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, believe
me. How people are going to react, like, why didn't these guys play in the preseason? Why were we fooled again by a Dream Team defense that can't play together?
Yeah, but there are 16 games to go after that. You're right. I think that's exactly what the reaction will be. I don't think that's going to happen, not because I think that the Eagles will be super prepared for week one.
The Lions aren't that good.
I just don't think the Lions are very good. We'll see. But you're right. Like, that always happens. If they lose the opener, people are apoplectic over it. But I don't think they're going to lose the opener. I think they're going to be fine, at least week one.
I would agree. Ruben in Germantown wants to talk about the opener. Ruben, you're on 94 WIP.
How's it going, fellas? How's everything?
Great, Ruben. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Yeah, I'm going out there Friday. I'm going to the game out of Detroit.
Oh, really?
Driving?
Yeah, we're going to do a road trip out there.
Are you going to see any place on the way, or is there somewhere in the Detroit area you're going to check out?
Well, we definitely going to check out Hitsville with Motown, Temptations, and everybody, the studio, they put their tracks down. We're going to do that, and then we're going to probably try to go to the famous Ford factory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're going to check out a few things out there.
Yeah, there's a famous and terrific pizzeria.
In Detroit.
I want to say Supino, I think. It was featured on the Food Network. It's supposed to be really, really good. So I might be getting their name wrong, but if you get a chance to Google it, find it and check it out.
We're standing. I think it's called Livonia. Is it Livonia? I got to look at it. It's like outside. The stadium is like 16 minutes from where we're staying at. But my question to you guys is, I guess you touched on it a little bit about the practice. Do you have any concerns? Like a possibly upset or anything? I mean, I don't see it, but like, what would be your concerns if that was to happen?
Well, I mean, my concerns would be it's week one of the NFL season and anything can happen.
Yeah, because there's really no identity, right?
Right. We don't know much about these teams yet. Look at it this way. Go back to week one last year, and the Eagles absolutely destroyed the Falcons 32-3. And at the time, I think it was 32-3, maybe 32-6, actually. But anyway, at the time, the narrative was, the Falcons are going to be terrible. We know they're going to be terrible. They're proving that they're going to be terrible. And what ended up happening was the Falcons were a little bit better than people thought they were going to be.
This is a no-win situation. If they lose, it's like they're not prepared. If they win, it's like the Lions stink.
Right. Yeah, it's exactly right. So
I'm trying to think back, because I went to that game, too, last year when they opened up against the Falcons, and I think they were underdogs. It was like 2.5, right? No, it was 3, and then at game time, it dropped to like 2.5.
Yeah, and look, the Eagles weren't as good as they looked that first week either.
Right.
You know, and it's week one. It's week one, and I'm
it's the hard knocks that scare me, man.
Yeah,
I
think you're 100% right about that. I think people who really pay attention to football are watching Hard Knocks, and they're learning. Here's what it is, though, Rob. They're learning. They think they're learning something about the Lions that they're not seeing from the Eagles. They feel like they're getting an inside look at the Lions, and we don't have an inside look at the Eagles.
The Lions are working harder.
Yeah.
They're not taking this for granted. The Eagles are just like, we don't need to play anybody in our preseason games.
You are able to see it on video that the Lions are working hard, and you are not able to see it with the Eagles. Doesn't mean the Eagles aren't working hard. I have no doubt that they are. But the visual of it and the story of it resonates with people in a way that it can't because the Eagles aren't on Hard Knocks.
Well, I'm not watching Hard Knocks, so
neither am I.
I guess I'm not scared. I keep hearing people bring it up. I'm like, well, It's Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know.
Yeah. Look, there are a lot of teams that aren't on Hard Knocks that are going to be better than the Detroit Lions will be.
Detroit does not know how to win. Nah. They're going to have to prove they know how to win before you get scared of them.
Yeah.
Steve in Bristol, you're on 94 WIP.
Hey, Mike, you're going to do the book on a dunk, right?
That's the plan.
You're going to include the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in that? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Spell this out for me.
Connie Hawkins is the Father.
I just said to Rob during the break, Steve, I am in the midst of reading Connie's book, Foul, that he co-wrote in the 70s, and I've already reached out to members of his family. I'm looking forward to doing a deep dive on Connie.
Well, the thing with Connie Hawkins, Julius Erving, and Jordan. The thing they had in common was Julius Erving's idol was Connie Hawkins.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to pattern his game against them. They played occasionally, and they're a big age difference, but Doc said, I can't be him because he's big. Here's the guy who's almost 6'9".
Yeah,
could fly. And the only story I ever heard about him is when he finally made it in the NBA. It was the Suns against the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
He did a sky hook dunk on Wilt, and they were coming down on the court, And Will said, do that again and I'll kill you. And Connie Hawkins says he knew Will from New York. And when Will tells you something, and they asked Will later, what did you do to shut Connie down? I just told him to stop.
So wait a second. So he never did it again?
He didn't dunk on Will at all in the playoff series.
I'm going to have to do a deep dive into this anecdote to find out if it's true.
The funny thing is with Connie Hawkins was he always felt, what's the word, abandoned.
Yes.
Because he was suspended in his prime time.
Yep. Yeah.
He was always trying to make up for it. And Will told him, he says, if you're going to make me look bad, I'm going to kill you. It was as simple as that. He said, I know you got a big chip on your shoulder because they kept you out of pro basketball, but I wasn't the guy that did it.
Yeah.
You did it to yourself.
Yeah, well, trust me, Steve. Connie's going to be a big part of the book. I've only just begun the research. I got more than a year to work on it. So I really appreciate the interest. You know, all will be revealed in 2024 when I finally publish this thing.
Vince in South Philly, you're on 94 WIP.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. Mike, real quick, I don't know how you take this. If you ever hosted a show with Robbie E., I don't think I could tell you guys apart. You sound so much alike.
Wow.
But
no, I think it's just me talking a lot.
No, not at all. Regarding Jalen Hurts and his progress, I have to go back to last year's Tampa Bay game. Now, what I'm about to say isn't going to change the outcome or the result or whatever, but to me, to this day, it still bothers me that they deferred the kickoff. And I'm saying, you got to be kidding me. You know, you give the opening possession to Tom Brady. I'm thinking, this is the one time you don't do that. And then, you know, a short time later, it's 31-0, and that's the ball game. To me, I could say the game still could have ended 31-15, but on a different level. In other words, like, say if they didn't defer the kickoff. Okay, there could be somewhat of a competitive situation still going on. And I was envisioning, say, Tampa goes up, like, say, 24-7 in the third quarter, and then Hurts drives them down, and they, you know, converts a two-point conversion after the touchdown, and all of a sudden it's 24-15. In other words, you see how he reacts under different points in the game, and then Tampa scores the touchdown to make it 31-15 at the end. Now, obviously, it doesn't impact, whether they would have won or not, but the point is you would have gotten to see Hurts under different game conditions, and then you would have had a better idea, okay, here's what he does well, and here's what he doesn't do well.
Well, I would say this, Vince. If memory serves me correctly, the Bucs got the ball to start the game, drove the field, and scored a touchdown.
Easily.
And the Eagles went 3-and-out. So you learned a little something about Jalen Hurts right there too, and their readiness for a game like that.
Maybe he was feeling the pressure because he's already behind 7-0.
You never know. He did not have a good day that day, and they struggled to run the ball against Tampa's front. They got out everything against the Buccaneers.
But
that
maybe
day.
It's different if they get the ball first and move down the field a little bit.
Maybe. Those first-round games throughout the NFL playoffs last year were very one-sided. It was the first year that the league had expanded the playoffs, gone to 7 teams in each conference, and those first-round, as great as...
Well, that's why the Eagles made the playoffs.
Right, and as great as those second-round and championship games were, I mean, you're talking about the Chiefs-Bills game, you know, all of them were tremendous. Those first-round games were completely one-sided. So, look, we can debate all we want. Should the Eagles have deferred? Should they not have deferred? The Buccaneers were a much better team than them last year. It would have been stunning if the Eagles had gone into Tampa and won that game.
What's funny is usually it's the wild card weekend that's got the better games, and the second weekend they're blowouts because you have a wild card team going against the division champ.
Right, exactly. You've got the second seed playing the first weekend because only the top seed gets the bye. So, look, I think to a degree, we can make too much of that one game, but it did show how far away the Eagles were at that time from genuinely competing, you know, to be one of the top teams in the conference.
Ed in Upper Darby, you're on 94 WIP.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Hey, Rob, I used to talk to you back in the day about the Sixers and all that. What do you think about the Sixers this year and all? What do you think? How these are going to perform?
I'm a skeptic about the Sixers, even with all the improvements they made. You're gonna have to prove that James Harden really is coming to play this year.
Right. And they were my favorite Philly team, but you know, my favorite Philly team now is the Philadelphia Union. I'm going to the 10th game next week against Orlando City, but I think that's the most, that building is the most athletic atmosphere ever. I mean, that Sons of Ben, they never stop. They never shut up. I mean, the electricity over there is unbelievable. If you've ever been to a Union game, it's unreal. And I believe if they're going to win the championship, then you definitely deserve a parade. They're just so good.
Yeah, you know, that's what got people interested in the Flyers back in the early 70s, right? Is that it was the style of play. It
Broad
was
Street
the
Bullies.
Broad Street Bullies. And it was success. It was Philly's foray into a major sport and a major sports league. It had not happened before, and it didn't take the Flyers long to become a dominant and different kind of team. Now, is this happening with the Union? They've been dominant this season. They're terrific. As we said earlier, Ed, every indication is the atmosphere at that stadium in Chester is just incredible.
It's unbelievable. It's like the building is shaking and all that. But real quick on the Eagles, I think they're going to lose week one. I really do, because I think Detroit played pretty well last year at the end and all that. But you know, I think the Eagles are going to have a good year, but I just think that I have them losing week one against Detroit. I don't know how you feel about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you know, Jared Goff doesn't scare me as an opposing quarterback. I don't see what the Lions have. And again, could be wrong. As we said, it's week one. Anything can happen. But I don't see where the Lions are the kind of team that can pull off that kind of upset from a scheme standpoint. There's nothing about them where I go, well, they've got this creative offensive mind, or they've got this quarterback who can pick you apart. They don't scare me.
They found ways to lose last year, and I don't know that they know how to win yet.
Yeah, I think that's you've been saying that about the Lions for 50 years, and
they've never been in a Super Bowl. I don't even think they've been in a conference championship game. Maybe once.
I think once in
against
Barry
Dallas.
Sanders.
Maybe
they beat Dallas, and I think they got killed by the Packers. I want to say
right.
I forget. Sometime in the early 90s.
That's hard to do.
Yeah.
Not even be in 55 years Super Bowls?
Yeah.
They've never been in one.
No. Them and the Browns, right? The Browns have never been in a Super Bowl.
But the Browns haven't been around that long.
Well, I mean, the Browns were winning championships.
No.
In the early...
The Cleveland Browns became the Cleveland... They moved to Baltimore. That team went to two Super
Bowls.
Okay,
all right.
The original Cleveland Browns are somewhere else. These Browns started, 1999?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah,
I was even thinking of them in terms of, like, the Bernie Kosar Browns, you know.
That wasn't even them either. Yeah. That was the one that moved to Baltimore.
Yeah.
So it's difficult for a team to be in the league as long as the Lions are never in a Super Bowl.
True.
We come back, I want to get your all-time... top five or starting lineup for LaSalle.
Okay.
All-time LaSalle, because you're a LaSalle guy.
We need more explorer discussion here.
We do. 215-592-9494, WIP Sports Time, 1242.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.